Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk, chapter number 3. In Habakkuk chapter 3, we're picking up at the very end of the chapter. It's only three chapters long, the whole book. It's the burden of Habakkuk in verse 1 of chapter 1. And the burden is that God was telling Habakkuk, and Habakkuk really didn't talk to anyone else but God, mostly God. Habakkuk and God are pretty much just having a conversation in these three chapters. But God is telling Habakkuk that he's going to allow the Chaldeans, Nebuchadnezzar, to come in and to dismantle the country and destroy what he knew as Jerusalem. And Habakkuk was not liking that news. He was having a hard time with it. And Habakkuk was saying, you know, you do realize that the Chaldeans are worse than we are. They're more wicked people than we are. And God said, well, I'm still going to use them. Now, don't worry, I'll take care of the Chaldeans later. But I'm going to use them to pass judgment upon my people, Israel. And so we're picking up at the very tail end of this. And Habakkuk is finally resigned to the understanding that God knows best. And I don't want to make this sound like us today, but I think there's certainly some things that are fitting there. And I hope that no matter what happens, what 2021 looks like, what COVID-20 looks like, you know, and COVID-21 looks like, and on we go, I hope that your heart and mind is ready to say these three verses I'm about to read. All right? Because I hope you understand the difference between happiness and joy. There's an old preacher, he's in heaven now, and I would listen to him on the radio sometimes, and he made a statement, and I finally looked it up and said, I gotta find this and be able to read it. He said, happiness depends on what happens. Happiness depends on what happens. Happiness is related to circumstances. But joy depends upon the Lord. And happiness is temporary. Happiness is fleeting. But joy is permanent. Joy comes from the Lord. And Habakkuk 3 verse 17 says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. It's to be a song, to be sung. Happiness is temporary. Joy is permanent. You can say it this way. Happiness is like the thermometer. And joy is like the thermostat. You know the difference between a thermostat and a thermometer? A thermometer tells you what the temperature is. Thermostat decides what it's going to be. And if you're just living in happy land, if you just believe happiness is all there is, then you'll constantly chase from one circumstance to another. I think parents are doing that today. I think parents are following this line of thinking that my child's not happy, I need to do something. And so I'll buy a candy bar, or I'll buy them a new toy, or I'll give in to whatever they're screaming about next. Happiness is so fleeting. In fact, this world has something called happy hour. What about the other 23? Happiness is so circumstantial. Of course we like to be happy. This world, I mean, think about it. A lost person, by the way, the faithful, obedient believer has joy or should have joy. All right, if you're following in the outline today, the faithful, obedient believer has joy. You have the secret to joy. Someone said, joy is Jesus, others, and you. That's how it's spelled. Jesus, others, you. And we need to understand something. The lost person can be happy for a while. But happiness, again, it depends on what happens. It's so tied to the happenings. But joy is an inside job. And so faithful, obedient believers have joy. And you can, hopefully you see it in church here. And if not here, I hope you know about someone. But hopefully you are seeing it here. People who shouldn't be happy, but they are anyway. People, according to our thinking and according to circumstances, shouldn't have joy, but they do anyway. And I hope that we can convey, I hope I can convey it to you. I hope God will teach me. I can convey it to you. You can convey it to your children that joy is not based on what's around you or what's going on or whether you got this or that. Someone else did or didn't. See, this joy is the joy of salvation. Habakkuk 2 and verse number 4 says at the end, the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by faith. And salvation is a faith thing. And we, by faith, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And through salvation, we get some things. We get forgiveness. Ephesians 1:7 says, well, I'm not going to be able to quote it now that I started to quote it, so let me go ahead and read it. I'll quote part of it wrong, and I don't want to do that. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The forgiveness of sins. Listen, part of the reason why we're not joyful is we don't realize how much we've been forgiven. Jesus was talking to a Pharisee and he said, you see this woman? She has not, since the time I came into your house, stopped kissing my feet and washing my feet and sobbing. You know why? She feels like she's been forgiven much. And that's why she's behaving this way. If you've been forgiven much, you love much. But if you've been forgiven little, you love little. Now the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, those of us in here that were almost perfect anyway before we got saved, that's our problem. This week on Facebook, I am on Facebook. It's a curse. It's not my fault. Somebody in here asked me to join. It's been a curse ever since. But anyway, I'm on Facebook. There's good things to Facebook. Some guy named Jake Eakin asked to be my friend on Facebook. I don't know who Jake Eakin is, but I always look, you know, okay, who is this guy? Do I know anybody that knows him? Who is this guy? I see a few people I recognize, and who is this guy? I don't really know him. I started to read. He said, this is my testimony. First 11 years of my life was rather normal. But in February 2003, my life changed in Ephrata, Washington. I was 12 years old. And my best friend, Evan, decided he wanted to kill somebody. I started to read this story and I realized I've read this story before. It broke my heart when I read it a few years ago. Jake said, Evan said, I'm going to kill somebody with my knife today. And Jake thought, he's kidding. You're joking. You're not serious. They knocked on Craig's door and asked Craig's mom if he could go play. And they went and played. And next thing you know, Evan starts bashing Craig's head in with a stone. Jake yelled at him and Evan turned on him and shoved him. And so then Jake was so scared and terrified, he sat there while Evan began to slam his fist into Craig's body, not knowing there was a knife in his hand, slamming that knife into his body 30 times. Craig died. And they found Jake and Evan. And Evan, of course, was the one who did it. And Jake was the one who was there as a part of it. They tried those boys as adults. And next thing you know, Jake is in prison for second-degree murder, sentenced for 14 years. And I read this a few years ago, and it broke my heart. But this time I'm reading it, and I realize there's something else, because he started it by saying, "This is my testimony." 3 months to getting out, 3 months before he was going to get out in 2016, he escaped and ran off. So why would you do that? Well, when you are a 12-year-old boy and all you know is prison life, what are you going to? What are you going to do? Someone feeds you and clothes you and takes care of you. It happens a lot. They don't know what to do. And he escaped. And I think he escaped halfway with the purpose of getting caught so he could have free room and board again. What do? They caught him in Rapid City, South Dakota. Made it all the way from Washington to Rapid. Took him back. And when he went back this time, of course, he was miserable. They put him in a very high security area, and he watched a man get murdered that very first day by two other inmates. But finally, on January 7th of 2017, after finding a Bible and a couple other Christian books, he began to read. And on January 7th of 2017, he got on his knees and asked God forgiveness for salvation. And Jake Eakin's born again today. Through all this, a young lady kept communicating with him that he had had as a friend even before all this happened. She too is a Christian. Today they're married. And now Jake Egan says, "My whole life is about trying to warn people against abortion and stop other innocent lives from being taken." Now, I don't want to minimize the life of Craig, but that's the kind of forgiveness my God has. And if you've been forgiven much, you love much. And there's a joy in forgiveness. There's a joy because there's regeneration. The Bible says you must be born again. The good news is that was my old life, but now I'm born again. And there's a joy in adoption because not only am I born again, the Bible says he came into his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Adoption. I'm adopted into God's family. And the joy of salvation is something that other people need to know. You see what I think Jake Eakin's doing right here? And he purposely asked me and who knows how many others if he could join on their Facebook page for one reason. I want to share with you what God's done for me. I am guilty of these things, but God's forgiven me and I am born again. You know who doesn't want Jake Eakin to be a good example for God? The devil. You know who doesn't want you to be a good example for God? The devil. Satan. If you and I get the joy of the Lord like we should have it, I tell you what, we'll be walking billboards for Jesus, and that's not something Satan wants. So he constantly is trying to remind us of how come we shouldn't be joyful people. It's a lie. I'm thankful that Jake Eakin's willing to use his story publicly. It's not something to be proud of, but it's something to be thankful that God saved you. This joy is the joy of salvation. This is why the world can't have it. They can have happy hour, but they can't have joyful living. The just shall live by faith, not by circumstances. Point number three, this joy, as it says in verse 18, is in the Lord. It comes from the Lord. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the Lord. I read this yesterday as well. Rejoice is a choice. It's a choice to rejoice. You know that? I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. You know what really helps? I know it helps me, and I think it helps everybody, is when we stop looking at ourselves and our circumstances, when we stop having a horizontal view of everything, and we get back to having a vertical view of looking to the Lord. See, joy coming from the Lord implies knowing him. You can't be joyful in the Lord if you don't know him. And so it's so important that you know God and you really know him. Jeremiah 9, verse 23 and 24 says, it's not to the mighty man or to the wise man or to the rich man, but to this man, the man that knows God. That's the key, knowing him. Paul said that I may know him, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. I want to know him. I know lots about him, but I want to know Christ. I want to know him. I wonder if Jake Eakin knows him better than some of us. This joy comes from knowing the Lord. And when you know him, you can't help but love him. And you can't help but obey him. 1 John 2 says, if you know him, keep his commandments. And anybody who loves him, that's proof of knowing him. To know him is to love and obey him. Joy is in the knowing the Lord and loving him. This is why I think it's so important with this modern world that we're in today and the garbage of the public education system, which takes away any teaching of creation. This is so important that we get back to teaching kids just how awesome God is. And just in the simple fact that he is creator. I really believe, and I said it in Sunday school, I really believe this whole epidemic issue we're fighting right now, a lot of it has to do with the fact that we don't realize the creator's in charge. The creator made your body. And when you die, it's because he decided it's time for you to die. The Bible says in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God made me. And he'll decide when I stop breathing. People, they forget about a creator. They just forget about the fact. They're ignorant. They ignore and they're ignorant. So it's important we educate our children and we educate one another and we get the truth out concerning him as the creator, but not just knowing him and the fact that he's created the world, because you can be unsaved and believe in creation. However, you start there and you know that Jesus Christ is creator. And not only is he creator, but then he came down and died for you to pay for you and I our sin debt. When you know God, it just ought to just come out in joy. And number four, this joy is independent of circumstances. Job said, though he slay me, I'm still going to trust him. Even though Job lost everything and God allowed Satan to take everything away from Job that was good, Job said, though he slay me, I'm still going to trust him. There's somebody who knows him. What if you lost it all? I'm afraid there's people probably in this room, maybe even me, that if I lost it all, I would have a very bitter spirit. Child taken from you in an accident. Marriage taken from you. Job taken from you. Everything taken away. Sitting in dust with nothing. Though he slay me, I'll still trust him. You see, this type of joy is independent of circumstances. This is not about being happy. Oh yeah, Christians are happy. But this isn't about what happens. Because verse 17 says, the fig tree doesn't blossom. Fruit, no fruit. Labor of the olive, fails. Field, no yield. Flock, cut off. Herd, missing. Doesn't sound like happy hour, but doesn't change your joy. Doesn't change who you are. I had to laugh. I'm being disrespectful. 90-year-old lady named Donna said a couple weeks ago, I heard a rumor that she said this. I believe it because I know she said it. I laughed at her. I used to have the prettiest smile. I used to have the prettiest smile until I got cancer in my mouth. And now I don't have a very good smile. God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? Let me tell you something, Donna. You smile with your whole body. There's Hollywood actors and actresses that have a beautiful smile, but they do not smile with their whole body. There's no joy there. There's such a desire for white teeth, you know, and dentist work. Listen to me. Joy is not based on happenings. It's not. True joy is independent of circumstances. I'm going to tell you something I heard, and it's still rattling around in my brain and my heart. There's only one person's sin. There's only one person's sin that robs you of your joy. Do you know who that is? You. But so-and-so did. I don't care, says God. It doesn't matter. There's only one person that can steal your joy from you. You. Think about that. Man, that's a thought that's just been humming in my mind all this time. I get so frustrated. I'm a pastor. I get frustrated with people. Wrong, pastor. Doesn't matter what they're doing. Shouldn't rob you of your joy. Parents, we get frustrated with our kids. Well, they do take after us. God wants us to learn some things. I'm tired of spanking the same kid over and over again. Would you like him to take the child? There's only one person that can rob you of your joy. Happiness is a thermometer, but joy is a thermostat. And over time, we began to learn that joy shouldn't depend on what's around me. Joy shouldn't depend on how much is in the bank or isn't in the bank. Joy shouldn't depend on who did this and who did that, and who hurt me this way and who hurt me that way. There's still joy. Because there's still God. And he's not changed. And his word hasn't changed. And he's got a plan. And what he starts, he finishes. And he's the judge of all the earth. And in the end, he'll make it all right. And every good thing will be there in the end. I'm burdened for parents who are so worried about trying to make their kids happy. Listen, don't teach them a false concept of God. God is not always trying to make me happy. But what he does is he reminds me that he's faithful. And I can stay focused on him and I can trust him. And I can find out there's stuff in my life that needs to go and needs to be taken and needs to be removed. And God's doing something behind the scenes. And when God allows things to get uncomfortable and awkward and there's something I wasn't planning on. And by the way, I know this is true. Anger is usually a result of my plan not happening. And I get angry because my plan's not happening. Anybody besides me have that problem? Anger is a result of me just, it didn't go my way. And we get frustrated, we get upset, and we get circumstantial viewpoint. And we can commiserate with one another about how so-and-so did this, and they should have done that, and those kids won't listen to me, and they should. Listen to me. Don't let the devil rob you of your joy with other people and their behavior. It's not always joyful in a home that's doing right when there's sin in the home. There's not always happiness, in a home that's doing right when there's sin in the home. But joy is the fact that I still have God, and he's given me this child, and this child is breaking my heart right now, but God is good, and I'm going to trust him, and there must be things I need to learn. As a parent with kids, I don't want my kids to embarrass me. That's the real thing. It's about me. I don't want my kids to embarrass me. And it's amazing how well they are, how adapted they are to do that very thing. And, you know, when you're young, when they're younger especially, I mean, I'm sure there's a parent in here right now that's saying, they never do that, ever. We get to church and boom, they put on a show. And I think part of it is God saying, hey, look, I just need you to be embarrassed real good so you'd see there's some stuff that needs to be worked on. But don't get mad. Because I think deep down, a lot of times we're spanking that child, but we're just angry because they embarrassed us. That's not the reason to spank them. And we need to recognize, oh, I'm really just being selfish here. I need to discipline them for the right reason, for them, not for me. My oldest went to School of Mines, got a degree from the School of Mines, going to work a nice job, and of course my plan is he's going to live right here in the area, get married to somebody, and raise his family right here, tithe that engineering money right here, help me around here. And boom, he says, God wants me to be in Arizona and go to church there. And there's a girl there I'm interested in. Hey, man, you didn't check in with me about that. Hold on a second. I praise God. Man, I'm thankful. I'm still joyful. And God is good. I mean, we need to let go of our children and let God be in charge. And recognize, oh yeah, he gave them to me first, didn't he? That's where they came from. He gave me those kids. But we're proud. I'll tell you a true story. Friday night, my wife, she's just in shock for a few hours. I'm in shock. And then finally she's realized, Hannah's here. And it's a busy weekend. She's getting ready to go visit Josh, and Hannah's here, and Hannah's helping with all the things. And so Friday night, I'm almost asleep, and my wife comes into the bedroom, and she puts her hand in my hand, and she says, "We sure have a nice daughter." And I, you know me. You all know me. I said, "Takes after her dad." No. I said that just to be normal, just to humor my wife, but I closed my eyes and said, thank you, Lord. They're a blessing. And if you want to use them somewhere else instead of keeping them close to home, that's fine. Thank you, Lord. They're a blessing. I'd be more joyful knowing they're right where they're supposed to be than happy temporarily where I want them to be. Think about that. Joy is independent of circumstances. And there's people in our church that exemplify that. Number five, joy has anticipation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hind's feet. A hind is a deer, or I would say a mountain goat, you know. I was just looking through some pictures yesterday of mountain goats climbing the side of a cliff. On the precipice of a rock. You know, on against a flat wall, just somehow hanging on with their hooves and eating whatever was important on that wall. He makes my feet like hind's feet. The world says, I don't know how I can climb like that. I don't know how I can climb like that. It's a mountain of grace. And he makes your feet and my feet. I don't know how you got through that one. I don't know how you got so high. The world stays down in the flatland. They can't climb like that. But he makes the Christian's feet like hind's feet. And they can climb. I don't know how you get through it. I don't know how you make it through. He makes our feet like hind's feet. Have you ever seen the view from the top? You got to have that kind of feet. Flatlanders never understand that. The joy has anticipation because it's a sure progress. And so we start saying things like, we know all things work together for good. to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And what's his purpose? Verse 29, to be conformed to the image of his Son. And we get higher and higher as we climb. And we start to realize, wow, God has been good to me. Look at the view. See, if you are right with the Lord, you start to get a viewpoint of things that's different than the world. The world's walking around scared of everything right now, horizontal view, no joy, seeking temporary happiness. This is why comedians, this is why movies are so sought after, because it's just a temporary happiness. Make me laugh, make me laugh, make me laugh. Christian, you don't have to have that all the time. Steady diet of artificial temporary. It's a sure progress. I'm confident of this very thing, that what he starts, he'll finish. And it's like climbing up God's mountain of grace. And then lastly, number six, this joy, remember, this joy comes from the Lord. And it says, it's my strength. It's not me, it's the Lord. If the Lord allows you to have real circumstantial heartbreak, real devastating circumstances, it could very well be that he's doing it on purpose because somebody next to you needs to see that you're still climbing the mountain, that you're still got joy. In spite of not having any teeth, in spite of not having perfect health, in spite of not having it the way you wanted it, in spite of this, take your eyes off of the happenings and look to him. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah told the people, the joy of the Lord is your strength. I know this is not very good Bible doctrine, but in my mind comes the picture of the cartoon, The Grinch That Stole Christmas. And the only reason why it keeps popping into my mind is the Grinch thought for sure that if he stole all the Christmas stuff from Whoville, they wouldn't be happy. And he found out that wasn't what made them happy. And I just think of the devil as that green old Grinch. Taking everything. Well, if I had what they had. No. That's not it. That isn't it. There's something else about Christmas. There's something else about Christianity than just the things or the benefits and the side perks that have come from it. But it's the joy itself. The joy of the Lord is my strength. There are Christians that have spent years in prison for their faith, martyred, tortured, and then martyred. And yet they exemplify the joy that caused their guards to believe in their Savior. Isaiah 12:2, we sing it all the time. Behold, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Behold, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. It goes on to say, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and he also has become my salvation. You say, well, I don't sing very good. The Bible says make a joyful noise. Doesn't matter if you think you sing good or not. If you're saved, you ought to be able to sing. Even if it sounds terrible to your neighbor, it doesn't sound terrible to God. God is my song. You know where that actually comes from? Exodus. Exodus is where that first came from. In Exodus chapter 15, they got through the Red Sea on dry land, came across, and saw the Egyptian army defeated, and they started singing, God is my song, my salvation, my strength. You start singing and whistling and praising the Lord instead of just singing that, whatever that stuff is that the world thinks is so good. You start singing about the Lord and just praising the Lord. Somebody's going to say, what is that you keep humming? What's wrong with? Why are you so happy all the time? What's wrong with you?
Don't you know you got a flat tire today? Why are you happy? Don't you know that you just got laid off? Why are you still joyful? What's wrong with you? I have the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Christian, now's not the time for us to be unhappy. Now's not the time for us to be looking and so consumed with what's going on in the world right now. We're missing an opportunity if we can't exemplify what the joy of the Lord's all about. If we can't be showing people what God's done in our life. I read Jake Eakin's story, and I thought of some relatives I have in Washington State that I know they know his story from the other side. I know they heard about him. And I purposely posted it on there hoping that they'd read that side of the story. Man, we need to be praising the Lord, and don't be embarrassed if you've got some past and you've got some scars. Just show them and say, look what God's done. Look how he's defeated the enemy. I have the joy of the Lord. It's my strength, and nothing can defeat me. It doesn't matter if it's a good year financially or not. God is still on the throne. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Heads bowed, eyes closed. In a moment, I'm going to ask someone to play the piano just real quickly, but before